NBC Monitor News on the Hour, brought to you by State Farm Mutual, the world's largest car insurance company. Now with the news, Jeffrey Pond.
North Vietnam today accused the United States of reneging on an agreement to hold four-sided peace talks in which the Viet Cong would be a separate delegation. Hanoi's key man in the Paris talks said the U.S. must agree immediately to a four-way conference or the communists will fight on to a final victory in the field. The warning came from Lee Duc Tho, North Vietnam's Politburo member, who is believed to be the real head of his country's delegation. He returned to Paris today from 5 weeks in Hanoi and Moscow. Diplomats say this may be a sign that the talks will start soon amid further reports that South Vietnam is about to end its boycott. North Vietnam says it has captured the flyer of the first piloted American plane shot down since the bombing halt began November 1st. Hanoi said the plane, a reconnaissance jet, was down today 40 miles north of the demilitarized zone and that the pilot was seized after bailing out safely. North Vietnam also claims to have knocked down five pilotless drone reconnaissance planes in the last 3 weeks. The U.S. command in Saigon reports that enemy activity in the DMZ has been brisk. The command cites 210 indications of it, 22 of them classed as significant, compared to 67 retaliatory shellings and airstrikes by the Americans. The U.S. says there was an agreement against military moves in the zone in return for the bombing halt. More news after this from State Farm.
Hello, I'm Pat Paulson. For years, I have listened to a fellow on the radio talk about State Farm car insurance. He has said that State Farm Mutual insures more than 10 million cars, that they have more than 13,500 agents and claim representatives who still give the same fast service that made State Farm famous. And he has said because State Farm offers so much more, they're growing faster than ever. All of this is fine and dandy with me. Nonetheless, I feel that this hamburger is doing State Farm a disservice. His voice lacks the power of a great speaker. His oratory lacks that special charismatic aura needed to sway the masses. State Farm needs a spokesman whose spirit and strength and vitality will make people leap up, look in the yellow pages, and call their agent immediately.
For your car, your home, your life, and your health. State Farm is all you need to know about insurance.
Once again, Jeffrey Pun.
French President de Gaulle and his cabinet have been meeting all morning on ways to protect the franc against heavy speculation and dig the country out of its deep financial hole. It's widely believed that de Gaulle will agree reluctantly to devalue the franc. A report now on American moves as a result of the French financial crisis from Ray Shearer, NBC News, Washington.
President Johnson will receive a personal report on the monetary crisis in Europe 1 hour from now here when he meets with Secretary of the Treasury Henry Fowler just back from the emergency conference in Bonn. William McChesney Martin, chairman of the Federal Reserve Board, and Secretaries Rusk and Clifford will join the White House conference. The immediate question is, how will French devaluation of the franc affect the American dollar? The tentative answer seems to be not much, not as long as the British pound holds and the improved position of the United States balance of payments remains firm. Mr. Fowler is expected to report to the president that no imminent problems are likely for the dollar and that he would have preferred a solution in Bonn which involved a revaluation of the West German mark rather than devaluation of the franc. Ray Shearer, NBC News at the White House.
The exchange of military warnings across the east-west border in Europe was heightened today by an article on military doctrine in East Germany's official Communist Party newspaper. The article said any war in Europe would involve nuclear missiles on the first day or shortly after. The Russians today said they're a Black Sea power and therefore a Mediterranean power, so they insisted they have every right in the world to keep a fleet in the Mediterranean. The presence of a strong Soviet naval force there and the Soviet invasion of Czechoslovakia led the NATO allies to warn Moscow recently of grave consequences if it tried any new military action in Europe or the Mediterranean. Today, the Kremlin answered with a warning that it would take appropriate steps to protect the communist bloc against any military moves by NATO. The Richard Nixons today announced the wedding plans of their daughter Julie and David Eisenhower. The elder daughter of the future president and former President Eisenhower's grandson, both 20, will be married in New York at 4 o'clock on the afternoon of December 22nd in Marble Collegiate Church. The Reverend Dr. Norman Vincent Peale will perform the service. Pope Paul today urged Roman Catholic newsmen to avoid giving too much play to reports of dissent from church policy. He also called on them not to support such dissent on matters like birth control, priestly celibacy, and papal authority. Once again, the hour's top story. North Vietnam says the U.S. has gone back on an agreement to hold four-sided peace talks, and Hanoi demands an immediate start out of a conference in which the Viet Cong would be a separate delegation. Jeffrey Pond, NBC News, New York.
Listen again on the hour for NBC Monitor News. Monitor, which specializes in sounds, brings you the Jimmy Wisner sound now, which sounds like this. Gene Rayburn here, and judging from the monitor calendar for this session, I'll soon be saying, here come the boogeyman, but right now, it's here come the Vogues.
Thank you.
America's a country of heroes. But how about these? Joseph Sank, Benjamin Banneker, Crispus Attucks. You probably never heard of them. They were Negroes, and our history books have often failed to explore the important part Negroes played in American history. Life magazine this week begins a four-part report on Negro history, The Search for a Black Past. Part one of the Life series is a 17-page portfolio on the period from the Revolution to the Civil War. And as usual, Life keeps its eye on today. There's a story on a West German millionaire accused of spying for communist East Germany, and a revealing report on a theater critic who took off all his clothes while watching a play because he thought it was expected. The expected, the unexpected, the unexplored. All in Life this week. All in the magazine that works to bring you a world of information, insight, and ideas.
George Plimpton has been at various times a pitcher facing professional all-star baseball teams, a boxer taking a pounding from Archie Moore, a percussionist in the New York Philharmonic, a quarterback with the Detroit Lions, the last adventure resulting in the book and highly successful movie Paper Lion. Now George shows up in the role of monitor guest to tell us about his latest chronicle of adventure called The Bogeyman. George, it's good to see you again.
My pleasure.
Now, would you do the honors, George, and explain the title and the nature of this new book of yours, The Bogeyman?
Well, the bogey means that you go around a golf course in one over par for each hole. It's the equivalent of being an 18 handicap, the bogeyman. It's a funny title in a way. It comes from an old English variety song, the bogey, hush, hush, the bogeyman is coming. But I just took that title and stuffed it into the golf book because it also has a meaning in golf, which is, as I say, bogey is one over par.
You know, I found that opening description of yours in the book absolutely true and very funny, too. The feelings that go through you and the thoughts you have as you're addressing the ball. Do you want to go over that lightly for us and tell us?
Well, I was fascinated by what golfers think about, great golfers think about, what goes on in their heads as they stand over a golf ball. In my own case, I have these strange delusions. I think of a whole crew of Japanese admirals up there sort of dictating what my body is going to do. Great golfers really see the flight of the ball, I think, in their minds. They concentrate on the golf shot, and what they see is a little dotted line going out to where they want to put the ball.
Mm-hmm. The game of golf seems to have more funny stories and anecdotes connected with it than any other game. That you must have compiled some. Are there any favorites that you have?
I think probably the dialogues between golfers and their caddies have always, great many of those struck me as...
Can you give us an idea of what you have in mind?
Well, I was thinking there's a story of a golfer who rather nervously says to his caddy, having hit a series of terrible shots, he says, golf is a funny game, and his Scotch caddy says, "'Tain't meant to be." Caddies are always very laconic. That's a typical one.
And they tell it like it is, don't they? You know, another thing in the bogeyman that intrigued me, George, were some of those kooky records you unearthed.
Yes, well, there's a very famous golf classic, which is called the Golfer's Handbook. And in it are these very odd categories. There's freak shots. For example, there are a whole series of record rebounds. For some reason or other, the editors thought it'd be interesting to record golf ball rebounds off humans. And they have there's one, in fact, I can remember the record. The record rebound was a shot that hit 75 yards off a caddy's forehead. And the ball, they're very accurate with everything. The ball was a ball called a kernel. And this happened at such and such a golf course in South Africa. They have about 15 of these rebounding off caddies. And they never say a word about what the caddy had to say about it. And I always sort of imagine the caddy sitting there with his head in his hands with this big bruise working up on it, and the people out with their tape saying 75 yards.
That is a record. George Plimpton, thank you very much for coming in and talking to our monitor listeners.
Thank you, Gene. Great pleasure.
Our guest has been the author of an amusing new book called The Bogeyman, Mr. George Plimpton.
Would you believe I haven't had a date since August? And not a single likely prospect in sight? My stardust was all turning into sawdust. But then I discovered Ultra Bright. Ultra Bright entered my life. Wow! Ultra Bright changed my whole life. Now, suddenly I'm popular, the belle of the ball. My phone just won't stop ringing, but I don't mind at all. Hello, George and Jim and Frank, believe me, it's for real. New Ultra Bright gives your mouth sex appeal.
New Ultra Bright toothpaste, the kickiest taste, the freshest bread, the brightest teeth. That's sex appeal.
New Ultra Bright toothpaste, a taste you can really feel. New Ultra Bright gives your mouth sex appeal.
After Ultra Bright, everything else is just toothpaste.
And if we may draw the parallel, everything's just radio after you spend some time with the Ultra Bright sounds of the monitor beacon.
There's $100 million treasure in the Bahamas right now, waiting to be found. A treasure left in the days of the Spanish Main. But Eastern Airlines doubts that you'll have time to look for it. Instead, you'll be in the casino, at the beach, on the golf course, or scouting bargains in Willems, china, and glassware, or exploring the dungeons of Fort Charlotte, or advancing to native steel bands. If there's still time to treasure hunt, you can. Eastern makes it easier to the Bahamas with jets from more cities than any other airline, and vacation plans that are surprisingly easy to afford. See for yourself. Call your travel agent or Eastern Airlines.
Eastern makes it easier to go.
Here's important news for our young workers. If you become disabled before age 31, you may now qualify for Social Security benefits. Under a recent change in the law, a young disabled worker may qualify for benefits with only a few years' work. Some young workers may qualify with as little as a year and a half of work. To find out about this important protection, contact your Social Security office.
Here's something that goes well with all sorts of liquid refreshment.
Hot dogs, Armor hot dogs. What kind of kids eat Armor hot dogs?
Fat kids, skinny kids, kids who climb on racks, tough kids, sippy kids.
Even kids with chicken pox love hot dogs, Armor hot dogs. The dogs kids eat day or night.
Fat kids, funny kids, kids who fly a kite. Big kids, little kids, kids who like to bite. Love hot dogs.
Armor hot dogs.
The dog kids love to fight.
When man fights dog, that's news, they say. But when kids fight dogs, they yell.
Hooray for hot dogs. Armor hot dogs. The dogs kids love to fight.
Monitor presents the Gallup Poll. Recently, there's been considerable labor unrest in the teaching profession. Has this changed the public's opinion about teachers for the worse? George Gallup, Jr., editor of the Gallup Poll, has a report.
Despite all the recent publicity about teacher strikes and teacher unions, it seems that most people have a high regard for the teacher as a profession. The Gallup Poll asked a cross-section of American people only last month this question. If you were advising a young person on choosing a career, would you advise this person to become a teacher? The results were 62% said yes, while 24% said no, and 14% had no opinion. Of this group, women are more inclined to recommend a teaching career for young people than are men. But it's the reasons why the public are in favor of a career in the classroom that is most interesting. The words rewarding, creative, and challenging are frequently used to describe the life of a teacher. On the other hand, there is evidence that the public has a feeling the teacher sacrifices something for this opportunity for service. The most frequent reason for not recommending teaching as a career is that the pay is too low. It is for this reason that many say that teaching is good for a woman to supplement her family income, but not for a man. Other negative attitudes are, there are better opportunities elsewhere, teachers get too little recognition, and teachers get too little support from the family and the public. On balance, however, there is clear evidence of the high respect with which teachers are held in this country, strikes or labor movements notwithstanding. This is George Gallup, Jr. for Monitor.
Now some Monitor recognition for performers as we direct your attention to Bobby Goldsboro and The Straight Life.
Sometimes I imagine myself as a drifter, seeker of fortunes, connoisseur of grape wine, dashing through meadows of yellow and green, trying to catch the impossible dream, leaving leaving the straight life behind. Sometimes my thoughts may find me in Mexico, drinking tequila, going out of my mind, having a ball on a couple of balls, treating the ladies to corn on the cob, leaving the straight life behind. Suddenly all my silly talk disappears. She comes to me softly with crackers and beer, winking and blinking and blowing my ears, running away with my mind. It's great to be in love, I'm not really thinking of leaving the straight life behind. Once in a while in my mind I go falling, going to nowhere with no worry of time, running along chasing after a train, humming a song in the sun and the rain, leaving the straight life behind. I can just see me on a tropical island, riding the surf and drinking coconut wine, having me fun with golden girls in the sand, chasing the sun through an innocent land, leaving the straight life behind. Suddenly all my silly thoughts disappear. She comes to me softly with crackers and beer, winking and blinking and blowing my ear, running away with my mind. Thinking of leaving the straight life behind. I'm just playing a game in my mind.
This is Saturday.
This is true.
This is long distance.
On Saturday, you can call anywhere in the country.
For $1
or less.
That's true. That certainly is true.
$1
or less.
For a 3-minute station-to-station interstate call.
Anywhere in the continental United States.
Except Alaska.
Plus tax.
That's a swell system.
That's the Bell system.
That's true. That certainly is.
So if you could make a long distance call to a zoo and take advantage of the new low rates on Saturday, which animal would you call?
Elephant.
You'd call an elephant?
Sure.
Is there anything in particular you'd say to him?
I could say, well, hello, Mr. Elephant. I know it's ridiculous talking to you, but I get a cheap rate.
Long distance is the next best thing to be
there. On Saturday.
On Saturday.
The cheapest distance.
Cheapest distance.
Between 2 points.
Between 2 points.
Is a long distance line.
Is a long distance line.
This is a day you can call anywhere in the country for $1 or less. This is Saturday. Call today.
A monitor news feature, this pre-Thanksgiving Day weekend, we're checking at various places around the country for people's reactions to the approaching holidays. Would you think people in Watts would find much to be thankful for? Well, a report from David Burrington, NBC News.
We're standing near the corner of 103rd and Beach Streets in Watts, California, the black ghetto of Los Angeles, which 3 years ago became famous or infamous when it exploded in what's considered the worst race riot in the nation's history. Today, Watts is quiet, but in spite of much rebuilding, there are still burned-out buildings and much left to be done as the people who live here prepare for Thanksgiving. Ma'am, what do you have to be thankful for this year, this Thanksgiving?
Well, the same thing that I have to be thankful for every single day, being alive. That's it. Healthy, happy.
So you see nothing special about Thanksgiving?
No, I don't believe in the celebration of a holiday like that. It's no different from any other day as far as I'm concerned.
What have you got to be thankful for, if anything, for Thanksgiving?
The most important thing to me, which I feel so, is that I'm living. You know, and that I'm black and I'm proud to be so. How about you?
Well, I'm the same as his. I'll be thankful I'm living. I'm thankful if everybody else be get a chance to live. Also them that people hate, I hope that they'll be able to live too and live through all what's behind them and against them.
I'll be thankful I'm living. Just thankful I'm living. That I'm living to see Thanksgiving.
But what, if anything, do you have to be thankful for with Thanksgiving coming up?
Well, one thing, I'm alive and I have a job for about
15 years, I received state aid, and I educated two children on that. So I have a lot to be thankful for.
Anything else?
I'm looking to a brighter future.
Those the voices of Watts, California, as the people here contemplate Thanksgiving and what it means. This is David Burrington, NBC News in Watts, now back to Monitor in New York.
Well, that's a reason for being thankful. It's hard to find fault with. Being alive. We'll have further reports throughout the weekend on Thanksgiving thoughts around the country.
Av julens strå kan man skapa de allra vackraste juldekorationer. Och på tal om golden sticks och strå, one can simply make beautiful Christmas decorations. And as for Christmas cookies, try Uppåkra cookies.
You're listening to Swedish Christmas craft ideas and real Swedish Christmas recipes, just as they happen in Sweden. But now, Christmas in Sweden has been translated into colorful pictures of decorations and recipes in December Better Homes and Gardens magazine. You'll see page after colorful page of Christmas decorations and recipes from Ireland, Poland, and England, even Mexico, far more countries than there's time to name. So make this a merrier Christmas for your family with ideas and recipes as easy as pie. Read A World of Christmas Ideas in December Better Homes and Gardens, the magazine that doesn't just report problems, it helps you solve them. Buy it now.
Better Homes and Gardens.
Only for Lovers, made available for everybody by Monitor on nationwide NBC in Hazleton, Pennsylvania on WAZL. Oh, yeah, incidentally, there was another famous Roger Williams, he back in the early 1600s, the man who founded the state of Rhode Island. I don't know why this popped into my mind, except that Thanksgiving Day is near. And that was around the time in New England when first was celebrated, and I think I better lie down and rest for a few moments. I'm Gene Rayburn. No, wait, I think it was 1636 or 5. Or anyway, it was a year when the Indians were there. I don't know what happened.
I'm Bob Considine. You know, it's nice to be a part of the Monitor family, weekends, here on NBC Radio.
Gene Rayburn with Monitor 68. Monitor music now, Al Caiola, High Chaparral. Thank you.
enthusiasm greeted the Bell System announcement long-distance interstate rates are lower all day Saturday in Augusta.
He's so excited about it, he's been in that telephone booth all day.
Okay, Carl, come on out. One, two.
3 hours ago on a New York stage, a famous canary said this about Saturday's low long-distance rates.
Cheap, cheap.
In Nashville, songs are being written.
Long distance, the next best thing to be in there.
And back in Augusta.
It's Carl, he's come out of the phone booth.
Run to him, Frieda.
Show me a man who hasn't got a thing to say about the state of the world today, and you won't be showing me Henry Morgan. Here's Monitor's Mr. Opinion.
For the past few years, a great many social thinkers have been worrying about how Americans are going to use their spare time. These sociologists have written about 1 million articles and 2 million books, explaining that with all the new machinery and computers and whatnot, the poor public will be stuck for a few days each week with nothing to do. What they haven't noticed is that all this time, many Americans have figured out what to do perfectly well with no help from the professional planners at all. These people have come up with a marvelous answer, typical of American get-up-and-go. They fill their spare time protesting. Those who aren't protesting are picketing, and the ones who aren't protesting or picketing are simply out on strike. Protesting and picketing are the most rewarding time fillers, of course, because you get some action. Striking doesn't really answer the problem of what to do with your spare time because it simply leaves you more of it. And in some cases, with less money. When you're not showing up for work and you haven't much bread and it's raining, you could have your hands full. There's hope, however. Here in New York City, we have about 1 million people on what is called welfare. What that means, in simple terms, is that anybody who is still working and moving money around is moving a lot of it around to people who, for one reason or another, have nothing to do at all, except collect the welfare checks. Now, it turns out that this doesn't fill too much time either. So the people on welfare have started to protest. And the people who do the actual handing out of the money have been on strike a couple of times. They haven't been able to get together so far so that the welfare workers and the people who get the dough can get out on strike at the same time. Now, this is annoying to the man who pays the taxes that support all this fine work because he likes to see his money go somewhere. Not part-time one place and part-time someplace else. Of course, it would be nice to have the money go no place, just stay in the taxpayer's pocket. Unfortunately, the only way the taxpayer can accomplish this is to go out on strike, or just to quit and collect unemployment. That money would come from the same place the rest comes from, I guess, the mayor's piggy bank. We do have a number of citizens who have solved the time problem by burglarizing apartments and hitting other citizens over the head and taking their money directly without having to go to welfare for it. And even then, they have some time to kill. Unfortunately, practically none of it is spent in jail. This is Henry Morgan, who will be back next week unless you protest or picket, or I'm out on strike.
Hi, this is Marilyn May with a song for all you winners. Hey, look at us now. We've got the winners and how Lincoln Mercury leads the way. We've got a great new car, the name is Marquis. It's pure luxury. I want to be a winner.
Lincoln Mercury leads the way with the all-new Marquis for 1969. Marquis, the most dramatically styled automobile since the Continental Mark III.
Marquis is so lush, handsome, roomy, and plush in a continental way. Its stunning design really says 69. It's the hottest new line of today. Marquis makes it clear we've got a winner this year. Lincoln Mercury leads the way.
Monitor music now from Nancy Sinatra, her latest, Good Time Girl. Starts slow, but once it's underway, it's go, go, go.
When you find out you don't love her, when all the glitter rubs off of her, I'll be waiting just a smile away.
Just a smile away.
I can see you need some cheering, so call on me, I'm volunteering. All you gotta do is pick up the phone.
Tell me you're alone, you baby, I've got on it. I'll be your good time girl.
Good time.
here with a good time program whizzing through the weekend world on the Monitor Beacon.
Volunteer drivers are urgently needed to provide transportation for visually handicapped individuals attending the adult educational and recreational activities of the Mount Carmel Guild Department for the Visually Handicapped in Newark. Many of these individuals living in Bergen, Essex, Hudson, and Union counties now are unable to attend the Guild's evening classes and weekend programs because of a lack of transportation. If you can afford a few hours a week or on a monthly basis, and if you're a licensed driver with access to an automobile, please call the Guild at 622-1460. That's 622-1460.
For the authentic story on what's happening in the world of Wall Street and why, join me, Ben Brower, on today's Business Trends, weeknights at 7:10, right here on WNBC. WNBC, Radio 66, New York.
Gene Rayburn, once again, since this is the weekend before Thanksgiving Day, Monitor is checking the manner and location of that day's observance for such celebrated individuals as, for instance, President Lyndon Johnson. Ray Scheer, NBC News at the White House, reports.
Lyndon Johnson will spend his last Thanksgiving as president where he always spends Thanksgiving, on the LBJ Ranch along the tiny but famous Pedernales River, 12 miles from Johnson City, Texas. The Johnsons always have their meal in the evening, and all the relatives come from miles around, including Cousin Oriole, who lives just down the road a piece. The menu is always the same. It includes Indian pudding. There will be one new face at the table, or at least on the scene this year, Miss Lucinda Robb, who is not old enough yet to dine on turkey with chestnut dressing. But her cousin, Patrick Lynn Nugent, will be the life of the party, as he always is, fresh from Honolulu and with souvenirs of his reunion with his father, Airman Pat Nugent. A year from now, both of the servicemen's son-in-laws, if all goes well, will have places at the Johnson Thanksgiving table. The president is, of course, thankful for many things, but to judge from the farewell talks he is making to all kinds of groups these days, what he is most thankful for is the health, education, consumer, and conservation legislation he has helped put through Congress. Ray Scherer, NBC News, at the White House.
We'll be hearing about and from other noted Americans concerning their plans for the holiday later today and tomorrow here on Monitor. Another Monitor tip, this for the party giver, perhaps to be used before your Thanksgiving Day festivities. Instead of using toothpicks when serving hors d'oeuvres and little chunks of cheese, try some of those straight, thin pretzels for a change. Another tasty tip, which can be employed on Thanksgiving or this weekend, or later today for that matter.
Hot dogs, Armor hot dogs. What kinds of kids eat Armor hot dogs?
Fat kids, skinny kids, kids who climb on rocks. Tough kids, sissy kids.
Even kids with chicken pox love hot dogs.
Armor hot dogs. The tough kids love to bite.
It up on the old banjo, put on the mustard, and away we go.
The great all-meat taste of Armor hot dogs, that's what kids go for. Sizzling hot off the grill with lots of mustard, onions, pickles, too. Ooh, boy.
When men fight dogs, there's news, they say.
But when kids fight dogs, they yell.
Hooray for hot dogs.
Armor hot dogs.
The dogs kids love to fight.
Jack and Jill went up the hill to fetch a pail of water. While they were there, they met three other guys named Jack. All ran off to the nearest recording studio, and the result? Hey, mister.
Hey, mister, I know nothing about you. I'll never know the hardships you've been through. Hey, mister, I know nothing about you. Better rock my songs about the things you do.
Digging the door to search for the light. Perhaps you've been a troubled man. But I was born lucky when troubles arise. The one who kept on will never pass through my hands.
Hey, mister, I know nothing about you. I'll never know.
In my social circle, we always complain.
They never satisfied with nothing you've got. But weeping, floating on the winds in the rain makes you the man I'll ever be, and I'm not.
Hey, mister, I know nothing about you. I'll never know the hardships you've been through.
Hey, hey,
hey, mister, I know nothing about you. Here are my songs about the things you do.
When I try to say, or sing what your life's all about. But if I really could, I'd help you some way. So I'm on the inside looking out.
Hey, mister, I know nothing about you. I'll never know the hardships you've been through.
Hey, hey,
hey, mister, I know nothing about you. Here are my songs about the things you do.
Hey, hey, hey,
mister, hey, mister, hey, mister, hey.
This year we're going to my mother's for Thanksgiving, right?
No. Last year was at your mother's. This year mine.
No, dear, you forgot. Dinner this year is at my mother's.
But what'll I tell my mother?
Wait, just call an FTD florist and send some Thanksgiving flowers. With a card.
Do we usually send flowers for Thanksgiving?
But why not? Flowers tell someone you're thinking of them. What could be a better time than Thanksgiving?
Why don't we just eat at my mother's and tell her in person?
Uh-uh. Send the flowers. Oh, and send some to my mother, too, for the dinner table.
No, you're right. I'll call our FTD florist now. Yeah, but how'll I know what to send?
Just ask him. He has flowers for any occasion.
I hope my mother likes them.
She'll love them, dear.
And next year we'll send flowers to your mother and eat with mine, okay?
Well, I kind of promised my sister that,
Call your FTD florist and let him help you send flowers to your family this Thanksgiving. He does more with flowers for you.
And now, monitor sports. If you're really the do-it-yourself type and you want to observe next Thursday's Thanksgiving feast in true pilgrim style by going out and bagging your own turkey, we've got just the man to give you some expert advice. He's Claire Conley, managing editor of the magazine Field and Stream, whose current issue has a featured article titled The Intricate Art of Turkey Calling. Claire, nice to see you again.
Nice to see you, Gene.
Now, what's so very intricate about turkey calling?
Well, it's a very technical sport. You have to know the sounds that the birds make at that season of the year.
Yeah, and this season of the year, what kind of sounds do they make?
Well, in the fall, they basically just talk to each other in very quiet tones. I've got a box call here if you'd like to hear what a fall call would sound like.
All right, here comes a turkey out of the bush.
Don't normally think of that as a turkey sound, but that's the way they talk to
you. And a turkey hears that, and he comes out. Oh, well, listen, there's Charlie down the road. I guess I'll go over and talk to him. And it's the hunter all along, and bang.
Well, hopefully that's the case.
Now, at this season, some of the most successful turkey calling is done by teams of two hunters. Is that correct?
Yes. Actually, what they do many times is hunt together and find a covey or a group of birds and break them up and then call them in individually.
Because so that each hunter would have one of these gadgets?
Yes, they like to. The birds like to get together. They're flock birds.
Mm-hmm.
And so they hear this sound, they come back to it.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking they're gathering together again.
And I see, yeah.
Then the idea is to be alert for them because they're very, very shy bird, very spooky bird.
They are.
And they run quickly if they see any movement or anything like that.
They can fly too, can't they?
Oh, yes, they can fly, but normally a turkey can run. Well, let's see, I read the figures 16 to 18 miles an hour at a normal run, up to 30 miles an hour when they're really in a hurry.
Your average paunch-bellied hunter can't run that fast,
no,
can he?
No, you get him in range, you better get a shot.
Well, now, that's the call for this time of year.
Yes.
And would you want to hunt a turkey at any other time of year?
Well, they hunt gobblers in the spring.
Yeah.
And, of course, the male turkey makes a different sound, a gobbling sound, and they have a different call for that. Basically, it looks like the other call, a box call, but it's bigger and has rubber bands to make the flapper or the clacker fly across the call. I'll make it. You just shake the box like this.
And that's what the noise they make in the spring.
Yes.
Yeah, is there a certain time of day you have to do this?
Early morning is very good for gobbling, particularly after they just get off the roost.
I see. Claire, what's the open season on hunting wild turkeys?
Well, it varies from state to state, but it's late fall for the winter season, and March, April, February for the spring season. Now, Pennsylvania, for example, where I live, closed several days ago and had been open about a month and a half.
Now, the turkey is indigenous to America, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's a strictly American bird and Mexican bird. It was basically the eastern half of the United States and down into Mexico in the original range.
We've been visiting with Claire Conley, managing editor of Field and Stream magazine, whose current issue has an item about the intricate art of turkey calling. Get out of them bushes.
In my math class, I could figure to the fraction, but with the boys, I just didn't add up right. After class, I was the fella's first subtraction, until I summed things up and switched to ultra bright. Ultra bright entered my life. Wow! Ultra bright changed my whole life. Now, my days have been totaling up to 2 and 3 a night. The compliments keep multiplying up and out of sight. Loneliness is zero. Believe me, it's for real. Ultra bright gives your mom sex appeal.
Ultra bright toothpaste. The kickiest taste. The freshest breath. The brightest teeth. That's sex appeal.
Ultra bright toothpaste, a taste you can really feel. Ultra bright gives your mouth sex appeal.
After Ultra Bright, everything else is just toothpaste.
Tis the month before Christmas, now what can be done to make Christmas merry and plenty of fun? Mama in her kerchief and I in my cap, hold scissors and ribbon and paste in my lap. The family room floor is all cluttered and messed. We've made snowbirds and wise men all beautifully dressed. These Christmas ideas from lands far away would keep us all busy for many a day, when what to our wondering eyes we uncovered, the joy of our talent that just was discovered. Simple, imaginative, and fun. You'll see the best in the world of Christmas ideas in December Better Homes and Gardens magazine. The editors went to England and Sweden and 18 other lands and brought back the prettiest decoration ideas and the best recipes in over 40 pages. Merry cooking and decorating, everybody, from December Better Homes and Gardens. Buy it now. The magazine that doesn't just report problems, it helps you solve them.
Better Homes and Gardens.
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, conveying us to the end of the hour. At the top of the next hour, latest NBC Monitor News. Gene Rayburn here.
The more we hear, the more we learn. To keep well informed is a major concern. So listen for things that are happening on NBC.
Do you know where your friends are right now? They're among the 20,000 people who are using their spare time and talent to work with the Volunteer Council of New York. They're in hospitals, the parks, housing, youth training, and anti-poverty program. But don't feel left out. There's still room for 4,000 more volunteers. Make New York a better, cleaner, safer, happier city. Join your friends. Get involved. Call the Volunteer Council at 566-5950. Anytime between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. Get that number. 566-5950. That's where your friends are.
Be Charlie Brown by Henry Gibson. The Charlie Brown, he is your friend. He goes on without end. Every day from 3 to 7, his reward, Radio Heaven. WNBC, Radio 66, New York.
You have an appointment with Dr. Joyce Brothers. Weeknights, 7:45 to 9 on WNBC Radio 66, New York.